Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is, a passel of people, and we're going to get to visit with all of them here in just a little bit. But as always, my good buddy and co-host, Todd Schnick. What's going on, Todd?
Not much, Stone. How are you this morning?
I am doing well, man. Coming off of Valentine's weekend for me. You know, I put my bride on a plane yesterday afternoon. She's out in Texas earning some money so we can make
the
rent.
Well, at least someone is in the family.
Hey, better her than me.
Absolutely.
You know? So we did our Valentine's over the weekend. We went to the comedy club.
And
we had a guy,
just listened to you talk.
Right. We had a date. We went to the Punchline, which is, a mile and a half from here. And the guy's whole shtick was relationship humor. And the guy's name is Tommy Blaze. And it made me think, he's got a new book coming out. And I think one of the things you and I ought to start doing, since we have the Monday morning show, several of these comics, they also have books. I think we're going to start booking some of these comics, have them stay overnight and come on the show, which Tommy would have been delighted to do. In visiting with him. And so next time they come through, so we had a great time, lots of laughs over the weekend, and then I knew we were going to have an exciting show today. We really do have a lot of folks. A little bit later in the program, we're going to have an opportunity to visit with a young man that I have been so excited about visiting with. He is a real-life race car driver. He's all of 8 years old, I think. We'll get that confirmed here in a little bit. But he's also doing some really neat stuff with his talent and his drive and his passion. We're going to hear from a gentleman who is also making just a tremendous impact on our world and in the arena of vaccines, serving humanity with vaccines. We're going to hear from an executive with Sage Business Solutions. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show, we've got a guest that, Todd, you found with your leisure interest. I think this is right up your alley. Tell us about our first guest.
Yeah, well, the first guest up today on High Velocity is a PGA professional and CEO of Atlanta Mobile Golf. Welcome to the show, Brett Gorney.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Now, this isn't your first rodeo at the Radio X studio, so you've been here before, so welcome back.
I have. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, so... You
know what I mean? He's going to be, like, comparing us with another show?
Oh, there's no comparison. We rank last. So.
Let's get him in and out, okay?
Yes, yes.
Because these other folks, they don't know any better.
So, Brad, I got to ask. We want to talk about your business first and foremost, or principally. But have you played in any kind of tour at any level?
I did, aside from local Georgia PGA events, I did play on the Hooters tour.
Outstanding.
Hooters Restaurants actually is, and people usually chuckle at that. It is actually a great mini tour. I also played a couple tournaments on the Asian PGA Tour. I worked in Hong Kong for a little bit and got the opportunity to play over there.
Now, the Hooters Tour, is that also what used to be called the Nike Tour?
No, actually, the Nationwide Tour is now is the former Nike Tour. The Hooters Tour is about the next one below. And, you know, the year I was playing out there, Zach Johnson was out there.
Zach Johnson, a former Masters champion.
Yeah.
So that's like the AA level.
Yeah, and that's kind of where a lot of the college guys go. It's a full-on tour. There's probably 25 events during the year. Most guys are carrying their own bags, but I gave it a shot. I had the opportunity from some sponsors, and it's tough.
Yeah. Well, I had a fellow who worked for me for many years. He played on the Nike Tour for a while, and hurt his knee and just had to retire.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Where'd you play college?
I didn't.
You did not play college?
No, I did not.
So
I went to college.
Out of high school.
Yeah, I signed
one
right
of those
out of
guys.
School. Yeah, early departure. No, I went to school for professional golf management down at New Mexico State. Just at that time, my game wasn't that great. So, I mean, it was decent, but not good enough to be on a team.
Yeah.
Played
a
lot of golf, but.
Well, the thing is, you know, when I go watch minor league baseball or minor league hockey, I can't tell the difference between that and the upper league. I mean, I know you can, but so that's still impressive to do.
Well, I think it's a better experience in a lot of ways, the minor league stuff. I mean, you get more access, right? And the players are a little more accessible and all that, don't you think? So how do you make a living now? How are you making the rent now?
In this winter? I don't know.
He's auditioning to be a radio host. Yeah, there's a ton of money in this business.
You know, kind of the reason why I started Atlanta Mobile Golf, you know, I've been a golf instructor for 12, 13 years now, focusing primarily on instruction. And last year, I just decided, it was a kind of a cold winter last year, and I just decided, well, how can I get more people taking lessons or just generate more income? And, you know, a lot of people make the excuse of too much traffic, they can't get around to the driving range. So I said, the heck with it, I'll bring it to them. So I started bringing a net and video and doing lessons on site for some companies actually right across the way here. I've been before at Rubbermaid. Yeah. You know, and just doing on-site golf instruction. And I just kind of let that morph, and it morphed more into kind of corporate events and stuff. And I still do the instruction, but so Atlanta Mobile Golf was born out of kind of a way to build business while I'm slow. And even though people check out of golf in the wintertime, there's still, you know, events going on and meetings and groups.
I think the event side of that is, and that was where I was drawn to connect with you, because, you know, Stone and I, we do a lot of trade show work.
Right.
And we're always trying to help organizations and partner with other companies such as yours to kind of figure out how to create some synergy.
We're always looking for other coattails to latch on to.
It's all about the coattail right now.
Right.
We're not ashamed to admit that. But going to a holiday party or some sort of event where there's a driving range off to the side would be, I think, a neat opportunity. So, I mean, is the event side of this thing bigger than you anticipated?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's going to take a little work to get it going, you know, building kind of a sales force, if you will, of, you know, the event management companies in town, the hotel meeting event planners, you know, getting those people technically working for me. Is how this is going to grow. But, you know, like I said, I started out just thinking, oh, I can go do little half-hour lessons at companies. And that's great first one or two times you come in there, but then it kind of gets old. So the event business is, I mean, Atlanta's a hub for meetings, events, trade shows. And, you know, it just golf and business go hand in hand. And from a trade show perspective, I mean, I've got a couple different, you know, services that you can set up where, you know, they're contests that can get people to the booth, get people coming back to the booth, and get people just hanging around the booth, which is ultimately what you want at a trade show.
Right, right.
So how much room do you need to pull this off?
You know, it depends on the service. If we're hitting golf balls, I need at least about 20 feet in length,
right,
and then about 15 feet wide, and then a 9-foot ceiling. So most trade shows, you're in a conference center, so that's big enough.
Well, you know where I'm headed with this, Todd. I like the idea of maybe bringing him with us on the trade show, do the whole, you know, booth radio, golf thing. But this new
This is all geared towards me being able to be Vern Lundquist. All this is about. I want to replicate that guy and how I just love listening. That's what this is all about.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, and maybe that helps answer the next question, because, you know, not everybody's a golfer. Maybe not everybody wants to swing. Are there some other ways to participate around this?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've got this little putting game machine. It's actually called the putting game. And
clever.
Yeah, exactly. Real original.
You must have had a stellar marketing job.
it's awesome. Anybody can play putt-putt. And that requires a very small footprint, maybe, you know, 3 feet wide by about 10 feet long, if that. And there's a little contest game. You can get it sponsored by a company. A company can give away prizes. There's a game where you hit five putts and it racks up a score. A perfect score is 500. And each putt's worth 100 points. And so we run a little leaderboard, and you can tell, for a trade show perspective, it's great. You can say the top three scores qualify, you know, every 3 hours to... Or every
we got to do this. You need to be the Vern Lundquist. Can you do that soft golf commentator?
Oh, you just, boy, what a wonderful Sunday afternoon. I mean, does it work? I mean, but, you know, if I'm a company and I want to connect with C-level executives, good Lord, you're a fool not to have something that you do to bring the table at a trade show to just draw that audience in.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, and
the
opportunities. Yeah, and with the putting game is as simple as it gets, and that's where anybody can
do. Right.
I have a portable golf simulator that's plug and play. It's again, you don't need a big setup for it. It can be run. I mean, everybody it's nice to see the ball hit into those screens and go flying, but you can just feed it from the computer right onto a big screen TV or a flat screen, and you can do long drive or close to the pin contest.
And can you cheat? Like, if I get up there, can you make my drive go really long and far?
Unfortunately, no. No.
Even modern technology can't simulate a perfect shot from you, Stone.
So those are the contest things. When you go to an event where it's a lot of golfers, like I've got a couple proposals out to some companies that want us to do some work during the Masters. Obviously, there's a lot more golfers there, and so we're going to get more into the video swing analysis. And 85% of all golfers have never seen their swing on video. And so we're not there trying to give big, long lessons. We just want people to touch people on video, get them to say, aha, that's actually what my swing looks like, because see and feel are totally different.
Oh, in my mind, my swing is flawless.
Right.
But I did see mine on a video because my friend I mentioned earlier hit.
Yeah. Ouch.
And I looked at it, and I was like, holy Mary mother. It was unbelievable. I think that would be a very eye-opening and probably a great way for you to hand out a business card saying, yeah, I can fix that.
Right. And it's quick. It's five. You can do stuff as quick as 5 minutes just capturing swings. I have the ability to create on the back end of an event, create a branded swing review where we capture some images. And put company logos on it and put some comments about
it. I like that. The business radio, the high velocity swing review.
Yeah,
I like it.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to learn more about this and book you for a trade show appearance or maybe to come into their office or something?
Yeah, sure. Well, the website is atlantamobilegolf.com. Pretty self-explanatory. Our number is 770-309-0609. That'll go directly to me. And again, and my email is brett@atlantamobilegolf.com.
Well, Brett, thanks so much for being on the show, man. I hope you'll come back and maybe bring a client or something next time, and we'll talk through the experience with them. That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You'd be up for that?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Hey, can you hang out with us while we visit with some of our other guests?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming.
Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a gentleman with GeoVax, who does something with regard to vaccines, and I'm looking forward to learning a lot more about that. Please join me in welcoming to the show Dr. Bob McNally. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're delighted to have you, man. So what are you guys out there doing for folks? Give us a little bit of a feel for what this whole vaccine arena is all about these days.
I think people probably wouldn't realize that right here in Atlanta, we actually have a company that's well down the road to developing a vaccine for HIV/AIDS. We're actually we're over there in Smyrna. We're actually a spinoff from Emory University. Emory, back in the mid-90s, started a vaccine center and brought in some of the best scientists from around the U.S. And our particular scientist is Dr. Harriet Robinson. She's been working on this vaccine since the mid-90s. And in 2001, the university spun this company out called GeoVax. And we are principally focused on coming up with a vaccine to prevent someone who comes in contact with HIV/AIDS from allowing that virus, that dreaded virus, to proceed on to AIDS. And also we have a therapeutic version of the vaccine, and this is for individuals that are already HIV positive. And the hope there is that we'll be able to wean those individuals off of their oral medication so that they can live a more normal life.
A vaccine for HIV/AIDS, I mean, that changes the world. When you guys pull that off, walk me through. I don't understand that world of the research and development and the study and the analysis and the science. And clearly, by my setup of the question, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But where are you the only guys in the world doing this? I gotta imagine there's people all over the planet trying to figure out the solution to this problem.
People have been trying to find a solution to this problem since 20 years ago or more. It's a really difficult virus to try to harness, and so. The trick in doing this, if you can call it a trick, the scientific trick, is trying to figure out what's the best method of giving someone's immune system the tools to fight the virus. To put it in perspective for you, because this is such a dreaded disease, the U.S. government spends billions towards this, and out of the billions, a lot of it is for care for individuals that are already HIV positive, but there's millions spent to develop a vaccine. And over the 20 years, to answer your question, there have been more than 20 different protocols or term sheets that people have come up with for their idea on how to do a vaccine. And out of those 80 or more that have gone through that process, only 5 have progressed on to what we call phase 2.
Wow.
Which is an expanded, in our particular case, it's an expanded safety study. So you can see that the landscape's littered with companies and good ideas that have fallen on the wayside. But I can tell you that there's some ray of hope here, and that is that 18 months ago, Sanofi of Venice, in a Thai trial, unblinded a trial where the U.S. Army, by the way, helped them in doing this particular trial, found that at the end of 5 years, they could give 31% to the population at large. So the idea is you want to vaccinate large portions of the population that would put themselves at risk in the hopes that you're going to protect them, like flu or polio or smallpox.
Right.
And so that's a ray of hope. And there's also a ray of hope when it comes to therapeutic vaccines. There are some companies there that are manipulating human cells. It's called autologous cell therapy. And they're manipulating an individual's particular cells, giving it back to the individual. That's a very expensive way of solving this problem, but it'd be much better the way that we're trying to do it, and that is to have a vaccine that would work for people across the board.
Now, is your focus domestic, or are you looking international, or where are you putting your efforts right now?
Our focus right now is for North America and Western Europe. It's kind of interesting how we as human beings keep our viruses and our diseases close at home, and so you can imagine that
right.
North America would be akin to Western Europe. So that's what's called clade B, which happens to be the particular version of the virus which is endemic to our area. But the largest need globally is certainly in the developing world. And there's particularly in the continent of Africa, it's what's called clade C. And so as a small company...
So that's a whole different strain, or what's the right word?
It's a different strain. And what we're looking for is eventually to get World Health type organization funds,
right.
Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or Clinton Foundation.
Todd Schnick Foundation.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I imagine the problem is it more widespread in the third world developing countries?
It's certainly more widespread. But, you know, this is a misconception that we have in the U.S. We think that this disease is a disease that belongs in the third world and that we have it under control.
Mm.
But the truth of the matter is the CDC has given some data that for the past 15 years, the infection rate of HIV in the U.S. hasn't changed at all. It's 55,000 to 60,000 new cases of HIV in this country, and it hasn't abated, despite all the publicity
and
use of oral medications.
That really surprises me.
It has not gone down.
But the problem is not going away. It's just the news isn't covering it like it used to when it was a fresher, newer story. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's part of it, and because there have been so many failures along the way. You know, we at GeoVax are really excited because we have some data that we've done in some of our non-human primate models that suggest that we have a very effective vaccine. We just want to prove that to the general public.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about this trial stuff because we have an organization in our Radio X family. In fact, they're going to be hosting their own show in the near future, an outfit called Preventus, I think. Jane McCracken's with this outfit. And they're in the clinical trials business. We haven't learned a lot about this yet, but how does that world work? And I mean, I think they might be working with people, though. That's a whole new world for me. But doesn't it take a long time to get the cocktail right and then get it to the point where you can test it? And walk us through a little bit of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to see the end of this story, but certainly the FDA has instituted these clinical trials and start off typically in animal models. And then once you've proven the safety there, doing some tox testing, you apply to the FDA, and there's 3 different phases. Obviously, phase 1 it would be a small study, usually in individuals that are volunteers, just to see if there's any toxicity to your vaccine. Phase 2 is a larger study, usually in what we call at-risk population, people who'd come in contact with your particular disease. And then a phase 3, and eventually to licensure, is a much larger study, could involve many thousands of individuals in that case, where your particular vaccine or drug would actually be challenged and be useful. And at the end of that process, you actually get licensed.
So early on in it with the animal models and all that, it's really more about let's just make sure this doesn't hurt people. You're not as worried about if it works so much at that point as you are just make sure it doesn't hurt folks, right?
Exactly. But we're in our therapeutic, this is where we're really excited because our therapeutic trial, which we're doing in downtown Atlanta, is in individuals that are recently HIV positive. We're enrolling individuals in that trial right now. It's going to take us about a year. From March when we start our first vaccinations, and we should see some of the data coming from that. And our objective of that trial is first of all, safety. We don't want to hurt anybody. And secondly, we're hoping to see a reduction in the HIV virus in these individuals and allow them to wean themselves off of their oral medications.
How is the good work that GeoVax is doing funded? Is that do you guys have to raise that money? Are you getting some of that government expenditure, or are you getting some support from Emory? How does that all that work?
That's a really good question. Actually, Emory is a 30% shareholder in the company. We're really proud of the fact that the university is backing the science. But we actually do both of those things. We're a bulletin board traded company. GOVX are the call symbols for it. We have 12,000 shareholders.
Any inside tips? We got a split coming up. Anything you can share just between me and you?
Not if I don't want to go to jail.
We'll talk after the show.
But our greatest funding opportunity is really from the U.S. government. The National Institutes of Health have been very generous. We're right now in our third year on a $19 million grant.
Wow.
To come up with what's called an adjuvant, which is an additive to the vaccine, which we've done. It works very, very nicely. And we've got two more years to go on that grant, and we apply for other grants as well. So being a bulletin board company, we can go out there and sell shares, raise some funds that way. We actually don't have any products for sale. So, I mean, at the moment, the big payoff is going to come into the future. So people who invest in GeoVax are investing on what they think is going to be the promise for the future.
They want to be a part of something that potentially just changes the world forever.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a golf pro, a race car driver, and a media mogul sitting right here in this room. So I think your money problems are over. We got you covered, buddy.
Appreciate it.
So how can our listeners track this, learn more about this very important topic, and what, if anything, can the average Joe citizen out there be doing, educating themselves? What's the best way to contact you, and what should they be doing?
Well, the best way to get a hold of GeoVax is the info at geovax.com. And there we have a complete website which has links to the NIH website as well. People want to know more about HIV/AIDS. The other one is really that this is an unmet need that we have globally around the world. This disease is not harnessed yet. There's plenty of room for opportunity. And we certainly need and continue to need the support from the U.S. government to continue trials, not only for our company, but for many companies that are in this field.
So you need and want to do more trials?
Absolutely.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate you coming on and visiting with us.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, and I'm probably going to butcher the name, but we'll get it all cleaned up here in a little bit. But we'll give
That's
it a right. shot. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show is Connie Sertusi.
That's right.
Oh,
That's
baby.
Perfect.
With Sage Business Solutions. Welcome to the show, Connie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. Now, what in the world does a grand poobah general manager of Sage Business Solutions that is focused on the small business arena, I think, what's a day in the life of Connie like? What's your world like?
Interesting question. Well, so Sage, just at the highest level, Sage is focused on business management, financial management solutions for the small to medium-sized businesses. And so that includes accounting, enterprise resource planning, payroll, those types of solutions, really all geared toward helping small to medium-sized businesses succeed. And my job, day in the life, as general manager, I have the Small Business Accounting Solutions business, which is Sage Peachtree, which you may have heard. That's
there's
lots of heritage here in Atlanta. I think the name came from Peachtree Street one day. And also Sage Simply, which is our accounting solution in Canada.
Now, you've been with Sage for a while now, but what's your background prior to that?
My background really was in software. You know, I came up through the ranks through a company that was also founded here, MSA, Management Science America, that was in the enterprise world and have been at Sage now for about 15 years.
For those of you that don't know, and a lot of our listeners do know this, I'm a cheer mom. And there's another cheer mom that is male, and he owns his own business, but he's in the IT world, and he says with tremendous pride, I mean, his chest sticks out when he talks about he's got some level of certification or ordination or a lapel pin or something that lets him do work with and through Sage. So you guys do have a marvelous, marvelous reputation for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is your reputation for your commitment to customer experience. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, Sage has historically been committed to customer experience, and we've been very, very focused on not just getting the sale of the software or the service, but the aftermarket service contracts, support contracts. But over the course of the last couple of years, we've really, if you will, kind of lit a fire underneath this, and to the extent that we want our brand to be recognized as a brand that delivers extraordinary customer experiences. And we've really started an effort to really begin to get our people, begin to build the culture, make sure our products are focused in this area, and make sure our processes are focused in this area so that it is a competitive advantage for us and that it can help us win in the market and help small to medium-sized businesses be successful.
Why is it newsworthy when an organization makes a focus on customer experience? I mean, it just boggles my mind that when you talk about the Zappos and the Ritz-Carltons and all those kind of things. This is an organization focusing on customer experience. I mean, what prompted that? What made that such an organizational priority?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, it's a lot easier to keep a customer than it is to get a customer. And when you keep customers and customers are loyal to your brand, well, first of all, they're going to stay with you longer. They're going to spend more money with you at the end of the day. They're going to tell other small businesses about you, which are going to bring in more new customers into the family. So it's just kind of a vicious cycle that you get into that's a great cycle, that you keep loyal customers. They're your feet on the street. They're talking about your brand, talking about your products, and they're staying with you longer.
So what's your favorite part of the job? What do you like the best, find the most rewarding, and what do you find a little bit challenging, if not just downright frustrating sometimes in your work?
Well, I would tell you what my favorite part of my job right now, and has really been over the last couple of years, is beginning to instill the culture around extraordinary customer experience. And as an example of that, what we went out on, we had about 7 or 8 of us that went out on tour across all of our North American offices over the last year or so, doing a number of workshops to our 4,000 and plus employees, really to help them understand what customer experience really is. And it was a very hands-on workshop where they talked about their own personal examples of bad customer experience, good customer experience, and really help them boil it down in their mind to, a lot of times it's getting the basics right, and it's looking for those opportunities to go above and beyond. And that was just fun. You know, as a general manager, being able to talk to all the employees and getting to see the light bulb go off in their mind about this isn't hard. You know, sometimes it just boils down to doing the right thing for customers. You know, I think some of the challenging times, I mean, it's as in any general manager role, you know, there's
people.
Obviously it's
people are crazy, right?
Well, and I will tell you, coming off the economic downturn that we had over the last couple of years, that was challenging. You know, that was challenging, I think, for any business, but I think we've come out on the other side of it and in a very good place.
Sage is a large organization. You mentioned, did you say 4,000 employees?
4,000 employees here in North America and 12,000 globally.
So it's a large organization, and you've been around a while. But you're focusing on small to mid-sized business.
Right.
Define what that is, first of all. That means a lot. That means different things to different people. But why are you focusing on that?
Well, so our definition of small to mid-sized businesses, in fact, we're the number one global provider in the one to less than 1,000 employee space. From a small business perspective, so Sage Peachtree, which is the business that I have, we focus in the 0 to 99 employee space. And the 0 space is that entrepreneur, that sole proprietor that doesn't have an employee. But we've got higher end solutions that really span all the way up to the, you know, mid-market, less than 1,000 employee space.
What are the trends you see coming down the road in the SME marketplace?
I think there, you know, there are a number of things. A lot of times when you look at trends that impact small businesses, you really don't have to go much further than looking at trends that impact a consumer, because a small business owner is very, acts very much like a consumer. So social networking, you know, there's 150 million Facebook users, 500 globally, 150 million in North America. And if you think about it, that's half of the population. And that really brings a lot of capabilities to small businesses to better collaborate, to find customers, to find prospects, to get their own advertising out there. Mobility is obviously another one. You know, it allows them to really get their job done anywhere that they need to, whether they're on site. And the final one is really software as a service, beginning to do more of their processes via the cloud. And that's shaping a lot of the things we're doing.
Has Sage created its own product, or are you marketing other solutions from other vendors, or both?
They are our products, and Sage has historically been grown from acquisitions. So Sage actually bought the Peachtree business back in '99, and a number of the other businesses that they've bought have been market leaders in the markets that they serve. There have obviously been products that we've created that have originated from Sage. But we definitely believe in the local touch, local supported. You know, we're number one in 7 countries across the world, and those are areas where we've bought those products and we've let them thrive, and we've really kind of put the culture around Sage, around the customer experience, to help grow those products.
Would you like to buy a local radio show?
You know, that sounds like a lot of fun.
You could come in here and do this every Monday, right?
Sounds like a lot of fun.
And you can have time. People can't see this out in radio land, but you brought with you a pretty lady in a red dress that I have a feeling has a lot to do with your success in getting the word out. Speak to, if you don't mind, a little bit about this relationship with her and her organization, and how that's working.
Absolutely. So she's blushing tremendously over there. Amy Ertley is head of our PR for the Small Business Accounting Solutions segment and a lot of our North American initiatives that we do. And she has really been our right-hand person. She has been just so incredible at not only, you know, these types of activities, but also getting our existing customers in front of our employees, which is a big piece of really building that culture that's focused on the customer experience. You know, every quarter we have campus meetings where we bring everyone together, and Amy's job, which she has kind of been nominated for, is to get a customer there every time that we can interview. And as soon as our employees see that customer on stage and understand the challenges they face, it really begins to make it real.
Getting your employees to actually know your customers. Wow,
absolutely.
Another novel idea.
Absolutely.
No, but there's so much power in that.
Well, we had a client recently that did something similar to that, and it just changed their whole dynamic of how the company operates. So you got people doing the work in the cubes in the back room that don't ever really interface with the customer, and thus they don't really know who they're working for. And once you have that relationship, it changes everything.
It does.
I mean, it's a whole different kind of an environment and a culture.
Yeah, it starts with the people.
Now, do you envision going beyond your walls and teaching people from other organizations how to do this whole customer experience thing? Is that on the horizon?
Oh, for me personally, I don't know. I've got lots of work to do at Sage. I don't. That's not on my horizon right now. But it is fun. It is a very, very fun piece of the job.
I'll bet. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and visiting with us, and thanks for bringing Amy. And I would love, Todd, would you enjoy having her come back with Amy? We'll get Amy mic'd up next time around. I don't know if she'll be able to do all that twittering at the same time.
She looks wildly enthusiastic about that.
But also one of these customers. I mean, Amy can get a customer on stage. Surely she can get them on a radio, right?
I think so.
And we could do like a little round table and talk through this whole customer experience thing. And we'll visit more about this buying a radio show. There's just a lot we could get done. Will you come back sometime?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, best way for folks to get in touch with you or Amy if they want to learn more.
Sure. Well, so our website is sagenorthamerica.com. And I will more than happy to give out my email address here. It's Connie.Certusi, C-E-R-T-U-S-I, @sage.com.
Terrific. Well, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can you hang out with us for a little bit? We got one more guest. Very excited about visiting with this young man. Can you hang with us for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a gentleman who is a real race car driver, and he is literally racing for a cause. Welcome to the show, Ricky Springer.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good, man. We really appreciate you coming down. So are you playing hooky today?
No.
Well, don't worry. Stone is.
I'm playing hooky. So we have Ricky Springer with us. We also have Ricky's mom, Julie Springer. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you. So we'll talk about all the serious stuff in a minute. But the name of our show, Ricky, is High Velocity Radio Show. So, I know that Daytona 500 is happening next weekend. I'm a big racing fan. We got to talk racing for a minute. Can we do that before we talk about all the serious stuff?
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about your racing. How did you get into it, and what do you like about it so much?
Well, I've been watching on TV a lot, so I was like, hey, that looks pretty cool. I want to race. So I asked my dad to buy me a go-kart, and we just started racing from there.
And so what do you like best about it? How long have you been doing it?
3 years.
3 years. So you're pretty good at it by now, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, have you been winning some races?
You've been doing it for 3 years, and you're what, is he nine?
Yep.
Oh, wow. My mother, she wouldn't have let me do it until I was 25.
Right. So have you been winning some races? Do you have some trophies?
Yeah, I think I have about 25 of those.
25 trophies in 3 years. Kyle Busch, you better watch out. So you're a racing fan, I take it. So do you enjoy watching other people race, or do you just like to watch yourself race?
I like to watch other people race.
Yeah? Do you have a favorite driver in some of the circuits that we might recognize, like Nationwide or NASCAR Sprint Cup?
Ryan Newman.
Ryan Newman, number 39 still, right?
Yep.
With the Army? Yeah, cool. Well, my guy, I really do like my guy. He just won't bite him in the neck like Ryan will. My guy's Dale Jr., and I think he's a wonderful person. Oh, that's Mom's guy. So is Dale Jr. your guy, Mom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? He just doesn't seem to want to bite him in the neck, though. There's just something missing, don't you think?
Yeah, it'll come. It'll come this year.
Okay.
This is his year.
This is the year?
This is the year.
Yeah. Has he won a race since he won the 500, like, in 1972?
Yeah, a rainout race.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Schnick is not very nice to me about my Dale Jr. Fan-ness. So, Ricky, tell us about this Racing for a Cause thing, because you really are out there racing for a purpose. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so when I started racing, I wanted to make a difference in the world and help try and find a cure. So I decided, why not put it on my car and every time I win, get some money for eosinophilic disorders.
Wow. Okay, you just pronounced the word that I was scared
to try.
Stone
and I will not even dare try pronouncing that.
But can you say that word again, and can you and or Mom tell us a little bit more about this so we have a bit of a feeling for what the kind of problems we're trying to solve?
Well, it's pronounced eosinophilic, and eosinophilic disorders are when a high number of white blood cells, eosinophils, massed somewhere in the digestive tract in response to an allergen or a parasitic infection. Normally, with eosinophil-associated disorders, it happens as a reaction to a food protein. All food has protein in it, and what the immune system does is picks up on certain proteins as if they were parasitic infections and cause masting of the eosinophil cells in the digestive tract. As a result, it causes extreme pain. Some of the symptoms are reflux that are not controlled by medicine, vomiting, failure to thrive. But current estimates are that 1 in 2,000 people have this.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And the major problem is that we're not diagnosing it. Whether it's the lack of awareness or education on behalf of the medical community, these people are suffering and not being diagnosed.
And why is that? Is the medical community just not up to speed on how to detect it?
Primarily. It's still considered a rare disease, even though it's becoming more and more common. We're not sure if it's more people have it or more doctors are actually diagnosing it appropriately now to the increase in the numbers. The reason Ricky started Racing for a Cause is he was born with this disorder. And he suffered for 21 months at the hands of 18 different doctors. And I can't even begin to tell you the misdiagnoses we received. I was told he was fine. There was nothing wrong with him. They went as far as accusing me of having Munchausers, calling in DCF to check us out to see if we were poisoning him, making him sick. And it finally got to the point where we gave up on the medical community and spent our lives researching the internet trying to find an answer. We came across the American Partnership for Eosinophilic Disorders online, and thanks to the wonderful volunteers there, they helped us find a pediatric GI up at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, where we took Ricky for a diagnosis.
And so now with all this racing, Ricky, you're out there. It's all over your car. It's all over your promotional materials. I mean, it comes through you. I've seen YouTube videos. You're getting a lot easier to find. So when you win a race or even just show up at a race, are you getting a chance to get up at the microphone, you and Mom, and talk about this? Are you getting some airtime?
No.
So you need more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what do you think is the secret to that? Do we need to get you in front of more? I mean, now that you've been on the High Velocity Radio Show, I think the PR problem's over.
Yeah, you're famous now.
You're set now. Plus, you know, we got Brett, the golf pro. He's going to set you up, and we'll put Dr. Bob on the case. So things are going to turn around after today, I'm sure. But no, what can we do, not just us in this room, but what can the listeners out there do to support you in this and help you get the word out, man?
Well, they can learn about the disease. They can donate money to doctors to educate them so they know diagnosis, so they know what it is.
Well, walk us through how the audience can, because I want to know how we can make a direct contribution to the organization that you mentioned, but also how do we support Ricky and his racing and help raise more money that way too? Walk us through those different options.
Well, there's several options. Through the Racing for a Cause campaign, we're always seeking sponsors to help us continue to promote the education and to help AtFed fund the education through an e-learning center. You can find us on the web at www.racingforacause.com. And, of course, Ricky also needs sponsors to continue racing, and you can find him on the web at www.springerracing.com.
Okay, so you can be a sponsor of Ricky's car.
Yes.
And those resources then help go towards supporting
this
effort. Have they found a treatment? I mean, how do you treat this?
The treatment, there's not a lot of options. Some of the options include steroid treatment, but over long term, that doesn't work. I mean, that's a short treatment. A lot of people, depending on the severity, they'll do allergy testing and try to determine the food protein that's actually triggering the reactions.
So it's caused by a diet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And some people respond very well. For Ricky had all food taken away for 2 years and lived off of an elemental formula in order for the inflammation in his body to heal.
Wow.
And then we started one new food every 3 months. And now he has a large diet. My other child was diagnosed with it a year and a half ago. Fortunately, he responded to allergy testing, and we were able to pick out 6 major foods that were triggering it and remove them, and he's fine. He didn't need steroid or elemental formula.
So there's no cure for it yet.
No.
But you manage it by simply diet.
Yes, it can be managed. And again, that's why we do this. The fact that there are people out there suffering is needless. If the doctors just treat it right and work with the patients, a lot of these patients won't be suffering anymore.
Where's the bigger need for education? Is it the potential the sufferers, or is it the medical community?
Really both.
Yeah.
Really both, because if you educate the community, then they know to go looking for physicians that are trained in treating eosinophilic disorders. And then, you know, again, the medical community, we need to educate them as well.
Well, I'll tell you, my hat is absolutely off to you, Julie, but you too, Ricky. What an impressive young man you are to invest your time and energy in this, and God love you for what you've been through, man. But I also love the fun stuff that you're doing. Where do you race next? Are we about to get into your season, or is your season wrapping up? What's coming up?
We're about to get into the season.
And do you have any idea where you might be racing next, or where we can come watch you race anywhere in the Atlanta area where we could come hang out?
We race in Dexter, Georgia at Lawrence County Speedway.
Dexter, Georgia, Lawrence County Speedway.
But 25 victories. Or I don't think Junior's got – I don't think he's raced in 25 races. But the 25 races. So how many races have you actually competed in to get 25 wins?
26.
Probably 26.
30.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I want a Ricky Springer shirt. Yeah. I'm giving my Dale Jr. shirt back.
Yeah.
I'm officially a Ricky Springer fan now. And
She'll take it.
She'll take my Dale Jr. shirt?
Of course, Mom will. Yep.
And I want something. I want you to sign the back of my show notes or my microphone or something, because, man, you are going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward. What a fun interview. And I'll tell you something. One of the things that I enjoy about having young people, particularly young people that have accomplished so much at such an early age, is the level of authenticity. You know, I asked a question a little earlier in the interview, are you getting in front of the microphone and getting to share your message? And an adult that's a little bit jaded has been trained to sort of fake it till you make, oh, yeah. No, we're not. Ricky says, no, we're not getting near enough air. So as a result, the man gets what he needs and wants. We're going to help him out, right?
Absolutely. No, we got to figure out how we can get High Velocity to sponsor.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys about that.
We do need to talk
that. That would be a lot of fun.
We need to talk that through. I mean, the golf guy can pay for it, but we want the limelight.
I didn't say we're actually going to pay for it, but I mean, we got to get our logo on the car. How much for the hood? I want the hood.
Well, it's always negotiable.
I understand.
Oh, we don't have a roof. Go-karts don't
have
a roof.
That's right. That's right. You see how big of a racing fan I am. But I know enough about, junior and stuff.
This is open wheel, baby. So, but we could get the hood, don't you think?
I want the hood.
Yeah, what would you charge me for the hood, Ricky?
Careful. He's going to be honest again.
I'll put him on the spot. You don't have to say. Yeah, don't negotiate on
there. Careful. He's going to be honest again. I mean, we shoot.
Well, I do have one last question to ask you, Rick, if you don't mind. And I guess it's a little bit serious, but I just think there are a lot of folks out there, young and old, that haven't quite cracked the code for living their passion and being truly successful. What advice, if any, do you have for other kids or other adults to help them do what they want to do and be successful in their life? What's your secret, man?
Just ask your parents if you can do it and just follow it all the way to the top.
I like it. Follow it all the way. That's our new slogan.
Yep.
Follow it all the way to the top with the trademark sign on it, right?
Yep.
Well,
I still ask my parents for permission and everything. So, I understand that. But follow it to the top. I mean, how many adults don't do that?
Yeah, no kidding. And I mean, that's a testament to you, Julie. You must build one heck of a home life for these guys.
Well, I'm a firm believer in that God gives us challenges. And we need to take those and do what we can to help others. And that's what I've taught them is that, we've beat this at this point. We're doing very well. We're healthy. And we need to look at how we can use it to help other people.
What an inspiring story, an inspiring young man. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ricky. And I definitely want you to, I forgot to ask, what's your number? What's the number of your car?
Number 12.
Number 12. We are going to be watching the number 12. We're going to do what we can to get High Velocity Radio on the hood. We're going to be watching your career, and we're going to do everything in our power to support you in racing for a cause.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, for Ricky Springer, Brett Gorney, Dr. Bob, Connie Sertusi, Julie Springer, my co-host Todd Schnick, and everyone here at the Radio X family, we'll see you in the fast lane.